Thank you, David. So as you know, because we have someone come up here each and every week and do a little teaching on the Torah portion, it gives me sort of the freedom to, from week to week, do something that may not necessarily be connected with the Torah portion. Actually, it's usually not connected in a direct way. And sometimes it allows me to, if I feel like I'd like to give a message based on maybe the Haftarah portion, which I do every once in a while. And this morning it's one of those mornings because this morning's Haftarah portion, it's from the book of Judges. But if you've read it this week, what you're finding is it talks about the judges, but it talks about this particular judge because this Haftarah portion, and specifically this portion from Judges 13, verses 2 through 25, are telling us about the birth of Samson, Shimshon. Shimshon means man of sun, sun, S-U-N. And so Samson is actually the recording of his life, and his story is recorded in the book of Judges here. What's really interesting is that it's his birth that we first see right away in those first verses. And what we see is that his birth is much like other births that we see in the scriptures, in the Bible, particularly in the Tanakh. All of them are recorded in the Old Testament, in the Tanakh. The only one that's not recorded in the Old Testament, it's written in the Brit Hadashah, and it's the birth of Yeshua. But all the other births, actually the other six births that are supernatural births, and Samson is one of them, they are all recorded in the Old Testament. So this idea that the Jewish world out there, the traditional Jewish world has, that it's so ridiculous that a virgin would give birth to a child and a woman who, for all intents and purposes, could not physically have a child, people need to realize there are six instances in the Old Testament where there are women that could not give birth to children. And they all miraculously, because of a touch from the Lord, gave birth. And so this is one of these instances here that we read about from God's chosen people. And God chooses a family, and He chooses a family, and then he chooses an individual. So let's go to Judges, and we're going to read a couple of verses here as we open this message. Now there was a certain man from Zorah of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, "Indeed, now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall receive and conceive and bear a son." If that sounds familiar, it's because this is the account that has happened so often throughout the scriptures. A barren woman, and the angel of the Lord appears to the woman, or to the woman and the husband. The angel of the Lord is so important in this section of the book of Judges that the angel of the Lord is mentioned 9 times in 24 verses, the 24 verses in our Haftarah portion this morning. So when it's talking about Samson and his birth and the beginning of his days, 24 verses, the angel of the Lord is mentioned 9 times. So now let's go to the very end of our 24 verses. We'll look at Judges 13, verses 24-25. because we started at Judges. We started at verse 2. So the woman bore a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him at Mahanah Dan, between Zorah and Eshtaol. So we see here, God blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord, the Ruach Adonai, moved on this young child. The child that grows up and we know as Samson. However, we know from the story of Samson that Samson messed up his life, and he messed it up big time. He had pride in his life. He was arrogant. He had lust in his life. And he allowed that lust to overtake him and cause him to get into a relationship that wasn't supposed to be. And because of this pride and arrogance and lust, it overtook him and eventually led to his death. And so if we imagine, given a wonderful measure from the Lord, from before you are conceived, you are given a special blessing from the Lord, and then you are born, and then the Lord blesses you as you grow, and the Spirit of the Lord starts moving in your life. You're given this special, special measure of blessing, knowing as you grow up that you're going to be someone special in God's eyes. And so what we see here is Samson was probably the ultimate example of taking God and his blessings for granted. He knew. He should have known better. We could say basically that he squandered the grace of God that was given to him. That he squandered the blessings from the Lord. That he squandered the move of the Spirit moving in his life. And it created, because of his decisions, it created an unhappy life and a messed up life. It's the only way to describe it. It was a messed up life because of those decisions. Even as believers, it's easy to take things for granted. When the Lord blesses us, when the Lord gives us special things in our lives, when the Lord moves in our lives, and when we see that things are happening in our lives, and we know that the Lord is opening and closing doors for us, even as believers, it's easy to start taking things for granted. We tend to realize the value of things that God has given us in our lives only when we lose them. And my hope is, and my hope is not just for you, but for me also, that we won't start appreciating things after we lose them. Because that's the way humankind is. When we lose things, gee, we wish we had that again. We should have done this. You know, they say hindsight is 2020, hindsight is always 2020 vision. Because we look back and we see what we should have done, what we could have done, what we would have done. But we don't know if we would have done it. We know that we should have done it, but we don't always know if we would have or could have done it. So the thing is, it's a terrible thing, but we shouldn't allow ourselves to get into that area of our life where we lose something and then we start appreciating it. Let's start appreciating things while we still have them. You know what? As a matter of fact, if we're asking for the Lord to bless us, let's appreciate the things that he's going to do us even if he hasn't done it yet. How about that? You see, because we know that the Lord is faithful to us. And we know that according to his great will and great timing, he will give us things that we ask for if they are lined up with his will and his timing. Not with our will and our timing, but with his will. So let's start appreciating things in that way. We need to make an effort to to remember God's grace. We need to make an effort to remember his gifts and his blessings each and every day. So we may ask ourselves, how do we know? What is one of the symptoms, or what are the symptoms that we're taking God for granted? I think one of the things, you know, that I thought about, and maybe it sort of encompasses everything, but if we find ourselves complaining and criticizing as much as or more than being thankful, then we should look at ourselves and say, you know what? We're taking God for granted. We're taking God's blessings for granted. And we all tend to start doing that many times. We criticize, we talk bad about things, we complain about things. But when those things overtake recognizing God's blessings, then we're falling into an area where, you know, we should look at ourselves and say, no, we just may be taking too many things for granted here. So Samson was the last judge. And we read about that, in the book of Judges, but he was the last judge of Israel there. And his life story occupied the largest portion of the book of Judges. And I believe the reason God spent that much time giving us the detail of his life was so that we would be able to learn from it. That we would one day read these things, or that through the ages, people will read about Samson and not just say, oh, it's a great story about a guy who had supernatural strength and he killed the Philistines. That's not the story. It's not, because we learn these stories as a kid, and he grew his hair, and when his hair was cut, he was weak. You know, it was like cutting his hair was like putting kryptonite in front of Superman, and that's how we would look at him, right? He was a superhero, and that's how he lost his superpowers, by having his hair cut. So we look at this as just a story, but the thing is, if we realize God has given us this detailed chapter 13 through 16, the detailed story, because he wants us to learn from this thing and hopefully be able to correct our lives. Let's always remember, and I think David alluded to this, God gives us these things in the scriptures to better our lives so that we can improve our lives. He gives them for us. He doesn't give them for him. He gives them so that we can learn and we can improve and be empowered and draw closer to him. And so we need to use this as a learning tool here. So can we pause or reflect or just think about God's goodness more often in our lives? And I guess I talk about this often throughout the years, but we need to always be reminded, just sometimes look around us. You know, sometimes people say, well, no, you know, people will say, no one told me about Yeshua. No one told my friends or my family about Yeshua. But God himself in his word says, my creations attest to who I am. My creations attest to how great I am and what I've done for you. So there are things that he has given us. I mean, and sometimes we need to only look at some of the tiny little detailed things that we find out there in creation and nature and see how wonderful and complex God really is. He is complex, yet he is simple. He is complex, and things will work in perfect harmony. Only God, only a intricate, thoughtful, loving God could do something like creation and what he's done, not only with the trees and the birds and the animals, but with our own lives, even with us. And so we need to think about God's goodness more often. You know, as we go through the scriptures, we see that the Bible is a book with an emphasis on giving thanks to the Lord. Amen. We see Look at, I mean, Psalms is a great example. Psalm after psalm after psalm. King David. And then sometimes the sons of Korah. You know, and sometimes Moses, there are psalms in there. And they talk about praising God and thanking God and the goodness of God and the grace of God and the blessings of God. And so we see this throughout the scriptures with the prophets. We see this. We see this time and time again. God wants it to be a book that shows us that there is an emphasis of giving thanks to Him. And it's not because He needs the thanks. We need to thank Him. He doesn't need the thanks. God is God. You know, the reality is, if no one on this earth ever thanked Him, God would still be God. He would still be as powerful. He would still be as loving, and He would still be as true as who He is, whether people believe in Him or not. And that's the same thing going on in the world today. You know, there can be a lot of people that don't believe in Him, that don't believe in His existence at all. It doesn't change God, who He is. It changes their lives for the worse. And so it's us that need to be thanking God for the blessings. God doesn't need the accolades. God doesn't need it. But He wants us to thank Him and bless Him. And you know why? Not because He needs them, because He sits on His throne and go, ha-ha, they're blessing me, I'm so great. But when we thank God, it actually does something to our lives and our hearts and our spirits, and it allows us to grow closer to Him when we acknowledge how great and wonderful and gracious He is and how great and wonderful and gracious He has been in our lives. Sometimes the longer we have the Lord in our lives, the more we take things for granted, because it becomes ordinary. You know, isn't it true? We've talked about this. Many of us, we remember when we first gave our lives to the Lord. Oh man, we were excited and we had energy and we wanted to go out there and do things for the Lord and we want to work for the Lord. And you know, sometimes people say, well, I was younger then. I'm older now. I can't move as fast. But the thing is, there's also this idea, you are at that point in your life that you know there was a change in your life and you know that God did something in your life. And now as the years go on, we are more complacent. We are more used to what God is doing in our lives. I hate to say that, but sometimes this is what happens. And so we take things for granted. The wonders of God become ordinary. The wonders of God become expected day to day. Well, we have the Lord in our lives. We've accepted Yeshua and we love the Lord. Of course, these things are happening in our lives. You know, we get to that point where we almost feel that way. They become standard to us. It's a standard. You're a believer, you're a lover of God, and a lover of Yeshua. It's a standard that we get blessed. You see, and so we get this attitude of complacency when we take things, even sometimes people take salvation for granted. Well, of course, we have our salvation. We've accepted Yeshua. He was He died for our sins. And it becomes standard. We take it for granted. And here's what happens. When we take it for granted, when we take salvation for granted, when we feel comfortable in what God has done for us, we start experimenting. We start going out there to look for other things. It's almost like, well, okay, I've got my salvation. I know who God is. Now I want to learn more and more about what else is out there. What is out there? What else is out there that I can use in my life? But what happens is they don't realize the basics are the basics. The reality is we're saved by the blood of Yeshua. And it's true that nothing can take us away, can take it away from us. We can take it away from ourselves. We can reject Yeshua. We can reject the idea. We can reject the decision we make in our life. But no one or nothing on the outside can take it away from us. And so we get to that point and we go, okay. And sometimes people get to the point where somehow they think they need to know a special name of God because it becomes holier. They need to wear special clothing because it becomes holier. They need to do special rituals and traditions because they become holier. They need to do things because they think it makes them holier, or it makes them somehow their salvation experience greater. I got news for you. It doesn't. It doesn't make them greater, one degree greater. It's the blood of Yeshua. If it's in your heart, you have accepted Yeshua into your life, and you've accepted that blood atonement, that is what gives you your salvation. There is nothing else in the world that will give you salvation, or it will make your salvation even greater. You either have salvation or not. That's it. But people want to go experience, they want to find out, and they want to reach out, and they want to find out this teaching and that teaching, and what these people are teaching us about the Torah, and what they're teaching us about this class, and that thing, and the holy name. These are things, what happens is, it happens, I think, most often because we become very comfortable in the blessings that God has given us, and we become so comfortable we forget about the blessings. The other things become the emphasis in our lives. The emphasis should be how wonderful God is, how gracious God is, and the blessings that He has given us. These are the things that we need to always be aware of. When we make statements, or when we have actions, when we are unthankful, or when we think that the blessings are expected, it's as if we're telling God we don't need them anymore. You know, think about that. If they're expected, you know, then what are you doing with God? Where are you putting Him in your life? Because, well, after all, I should be getting them because of who I am and the decisions that I make. It's as if we deserve them. I'm going to go to my last verse this morning. This is 2 Timothy, and it's really telling us about what's going on in the world today. It's amazing how we read something from 2,000 years ago, and it seems to be right on of what's going on today. And Shaul, Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, writes this to Timothy in a second letter that we have recorded to Timothy. But know this, he says to him, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves. As we read these things, let's think about what's going on in the world today. Will become lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godlessness but denying its power. And that, unfortunately, there's a portion of the body of Messiah that fall into that. They have a form of godlessness. They think they're legitimately in the body of Messiah, but they're really not. But they think because of the things that they're doing. They're doing them on the outside, externally, but they're not doing from the heart. And so they have a form of godliness, thank you. I keep repeating that because I know it's something wrong that I'm saying from my mouth. My brain is telling me one thing, my mouth is saying another. A form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away. This people is a picture of what's going on today in the world, and some of it is it's been creeping over the years into the body of Messiah. Shaul is warning Timothy. These are perilous times. These are last days times, and when we see these things, we know that we are in the last days. So let's not fall into any of these categories. Let's remember God's grace in our lives. Let's remember God's blessings in our lives. Every day, there is something when those eyes open in the morning that you can look at and look at the blessings of God. There is something going on and out there. Maybe it's just the idea that the eyes opened in the morning. Let's support one another in this walk with the Lord. Let's cultivate and develop our relationship with God. And let's work to increase that each and every day. And let's never, ever take God and his blessings for granted. Because they only lead us down a road that is not a good road to go down. Acknowledge his blessings. Love his blessings. Work with his blessings. But don't take them for granted. Let's not be Samsons. Because it doesn't turn out good. And you know what? Even if we try to, and at the end, Samson did the Lord's work at the very end. At the very end. He snapped out of it. And I want to tell you, you know, I realize what happened here. We see this parallel of Samson's life. But, you know, let's remember of Shaul's experience on the road where God blinded him. You know, there was something he was showing, I believe he was showing to Shaul, that your sin has blinded you from the truth. And so I'm going to physically blind you so that you will only hear the voice of Yeshua. And I think there's some kind of connection here. I don't know. I don't know. But it could be that this was the way that God allowed Samson to be tortured. One of the things was that they took out his eyes, that they blinded him so that maybe in those last minutes of his life, he could be blinded physically, but he would be able to see clearly spiritually. And so this is what we need to do. We need to be able to clearly seeing on a spiritual level the things that are around us, what we're doing right, what we're doing wrong, when we're taking things for granted, or when we're truly embracing them and loving them. And so hopefully this morning, Samson and the story of Samson has given us a little bit more that we can use in our lives each and every day as we go through this journey, this wonderful journey through the wilderness today, one day ultimately getting to the wonderful promised land of God's kingdom. So Shabbat Shalom, everyone, and may the Lord continue blessing each and every one of you.